Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagné. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. If you're looking for a present, yes, you're looking to buy something for you or someone you know, might I suggest the new KISW vintage hat? It's new and it's vintage. See how we did that? Snapback hat with the old school Rock logo on the front. It's a sweet looking cap. You know, you're going to need this on your dome piece, or somebody you know is going to want this hat for themselves. Get it now, KISW.com.
Let's play Beat Mix.
It's time to play the game.
Yeah.
So everybody scream his name. Beat Mix. Don't be a loser.
Whoa.
Beat Mix. You're a loser.
It is time.
Time to Beat Mix. And it's also time to turn down for Thursday.
Charge out for what?
Here. Almost Friday feeling. Yeah. Yeah. But Steve doesn't turn it down for Thursday. He turns it up.
Turn up.
Yeah, he does.
Rev, you have
earlier.
You watch Rev when he's trying to dance. He rocks. He looks like the Burl Ives snowman in the Rudolph.
Oh my gosh, yes.
He just goes.
I'm not moving my feet.
That's it.
That's all I'm doing. It's like the top.
Do you know the snowman I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen him dance.
Oh, dude.
I didn't like steal any sweet moves from him.
When
or
he
anything.
Sings Holly Jolly Christmas in that old animated
it's
thing.
Holy
you really
jolly
look like him.
Christmas.
It's almost like a slightly less attractive hula hoop girl. On your car.
Yeah. Oh, only slightly less?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's a compliment.
Because
they're hot.
I'll take that.
Honestly, if you wear a white shirt, which you never ever do, but
no,
you gotta,
God, no, I will not.
You need to wear a white shirt, and we need to put you up against that snowman from Rudolph.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't need to see
yeah,
me
you
in
do.
A white shirt.
So he's Heat Miser, and now he's the other guy.
Yeah, he's the snowman, the singing snowman that tells us the story of Rudolph.
So you just bring Christmas cheer all year.
Yeah, nice. Well, I mean, the Christmas trees are already up in certain places, so why not?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Let's get to our. They are up.
They are. Let's get to our contestant today. We got Brian and Kirkland to take on Steve. Brian, are you there, sir?
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, buddy.
What's he playing for today, Steve?
Shinedown and Godsmack tickets are over in Everett at the Angel of the Winds Arena, and that's going to be on October 10th. Go to KISW.com for all the details. If you want tickets, you can get them now. AngelOfTheWindsArena.com.
All right, Steve, get out of here.
Get out.
Playing at home, Brian will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. Brian, you can pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Those tickets are mine. Let's
Ooh,
do it.
Nice. The first spinoff of CSI starting in 2002 was set in what city?
Miami.
Yes. During what war was the construction of the Pentagon completed?
World War II.
Yes. Which state is directly north of Louisiana?
That's Missouri.
No.
Kentucky?
No.
Tennessee?
No. What country does the cappuccino originate from?
Italy.
Yes. Guile and M. Bison are characters in what video game franchise?
With Street Fighter?
Yes. What year of the early 2000s did Wikipedia launch?
2001.
Yes. What year was the movie Star Trek The Motion Picture released?
Ooh. 84.
No.
83.
No.
85.
No. What U.S. city is home to the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum?
Nashville.
Yes. How many dice are used in Yahtzee?
85.
Yes. One Giant Leap was the first biography ever
written. Armstrong.
Yes, and that is 8 out of 10.
Not bad.
That's a pretty good score there.
Dr. Shepard.
He's saying he's going to win those tickets, and that very well may happen.
He gave it a Hasselbeck.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
That didn't work out for him.
Hopefully he doesn't have that same situation.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Steve won't intercept this and run it back for a touchdown.
That's why I thought we had a bad game on Monday night, because Matt Hasselbeck was the only guy that thought the Seahawks would win.
He's our bad luck charm.
Yeah. I was like, no, Matt, don't pick us.
Don't
please
say
don't.
It. Don't say it.
Yeah.
Steve, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
The first spinoff of CSI starting in 2002 was set in what city?
Miami.
Yes.
Miami.
During what war was the construction of the Pentagon completed?
Ooh, World War II.
Yes. Which state is directly north of Louisiana?
Alabama.
No.
Florida.
No.
That was a terrible guess. Mississippi.
No. What country does...
Arkansas.
Yep.
Damn it.
What country does the cappuccino originate from?
Italy.
Yes.
Hey.
Guile and M. Bison are characters in what video game franchise?
Fatality. Mortal Kombat.
No.
Oh. Double Dragon?
No.
Halo.
No. What year of the early 2000s did Wikipedia launch?
2001.
Yes. What year was the movie Star Trek The Motion Picture released?
Star Trek. Oh, man. I'm going to go as young. 82?
No.
81?
No.
80.
No. What U.S. city is home to the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum?
That would be, what city?
Yes.
Nashville.
Yes. How many dice are used in Yahtzee?
Yahtzee. 5.
Yes, did you really have to do the hand motion there?
Yeah, I did.
I was shaking up the dice.
No, you're not shaking
the dice. That is not shaking dice, man. No.
That's also a really great dance move.
Yeah, it sure is.
Shaking the dice.
Okay. That's also a Danny McBride move.
Oh, yeah.
It's also a scene from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, there's something about Mary, too.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Steve, I mean, yeah, you lose. I think we all do after that one. So congratulations to Brian. He called it. He wins 8-6.
Good job, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
All right, hang on. We'll tell you how to get your prize. And Steve?
Yes.
This is for you.
Yeah, don't roll the dice on this one. You didn't get to one question. One Giant Leap was the first biography ever written of whom?
Giant Leap.
Come on.
O.J. Simpson.
No.
No.
They're going to make
a movie. Well, he jumped over the luggage in the movie, in the commercials.
That wasn't a giant leap.
I thought so.
No.
One Giant Leap. Yeah. Evel Knievel.
No. Good guess, though.
Okay. No.
Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps, because he swam and leapt all the time.
Yeah, leapt all the time.
Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong.
One Giant Leap for Mankind.
Yeah.
And once lost it.
They're making a movie. I just saw a trailer.
Really?
Someone's in the movie. But
I hope Tom Hanks.
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
Someone's in the movie.
Yeah, someone's in the movie. I think his name is Ryan Gosling. Thank you, Danny.
Is he playing the guy?
No, he's actually going to play the rocket.
He's just
going to
hang out. Yeah, he's just hanging out in there.
He's playing the moon rocket, actually.
There's more than one person, I'm sure, in this film.
We just had a question about One Giant Leap.
Yeah.
And Ryan Gosling. Who do you think they're going to have him play if we're talking about Neil Armstrong's movie?
Buzz Aldrin, maybe?
Yes, thank you, Rev.
Yes.
No, Buzz Aldrin's probably going to be some other guy.
It's Corey Stoll who's going to play Buzz.
Yeah, exactly. You don't even know who the hell that is, do you?
I do not.
Yeah.
He was in Ant-Man, I guess.
Great.
Oh, yeah, and Corey was that other guy.
Okay,
fine.
Star Trek The Motion Picture. When was that released, BJ?
I believe it was 78.
No.
79.
There you go.
That's it.
I was going in the right direction.
You were, absolutely.
I knew it was like somewhere around my graduation.
You were close with the Mortal Kombat guess with Guile and M. Bison. They are Street Fighter characters.
Oh, nice try.
Yep, and then you did figure out that Louisiana is directly south of Arkansas.
Yeah, buddy. A
little late there, considering there's nothing directly south of either of the three states that you did mention.
There's water.
There's a lot of water.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to work through the questions.
Yeah, you're doing a good job.
Massage my brain.
Very proud of you.
Well, congratulations on working through them in a way that let Brian win. He did beat Miggs.
Yeah, if you tie or beat Miggs, you get those nice prizes, and that's always a cool thing. All right. One of the fun parts of the first Deadpool movie was the fact that there was a scene where Deadpool said, we're going to have this big, big fight, but he forgot all of his ammunition and all of his guns. And then he turned to the screen and says, or was it we didn't have enough money?
Oh, that's right.
And it was because that is a reality of a lot of movies and television shows. And there's a list here of the 5 iconic on-screen moments made possible by a lack of money.
And one of them, of course, is beloved to all of us. And of course, and we have him as a guest on the show, Kevin Smith. Of course, the movie that made him famous, Clerks. The quick stop sign, which, you know, says, "I assure you we're open," which became quite an iconic sign in that movie. Mm-hmm. The reason being was that they had to film the movie in a real convenience store. They couldn't get sound stages. They just didn't have enough money for that.
Didn't he finance it on, like, credit card?
Yeah.
He applied for some new credit cards, and that's how he financed the film.
This is a parent's nightmare, that your son's going out there with his camera going, "I'm going to make a movie and no one's going to help me." And he got this convenience store's permission, but they only had the ability to shoot at night, so he had to keep the window shutters down. And that's why, of course, they had the "I assure you we're open" sign.
Oh my gosh, and that's such an awesome part of the movie, though.
Yeah. And it was all because he didn't have the money. Another famous movie and a really, really funny scene was Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where you get to see them with coconuts making the sound of horses as they're galloping. And they were supposed to have real horses, but again, they didn't have the budget. So they did this as a joke. And as it turned out, it's like, I couldn't see that movie any other way. Thank God they didn't have the money for the horses.
I've never seen the movie, but I'm watching the clip, and it's pretty freaking funny.
Yeah, there's a lot of funny in that movie if you can watch it, man. It's a classic. The ice rink date in Rocky. Rocky and Adrian were supposed to go skating on a busy day, but they couldn't afford to pay extras, so they did it in an empty rink, which made the scene more intimate and romantic.
It goes right back to you talking about the Monty Python thing. I couldn't imagine that with a bunch of people, because what made that so cool was just the story of him being able to convince the guy to let him stay in the rink and, you know, have this special date with her. It's a great moment in the film.
And all because they didn't have money. How about that?
Sometimes circumstances just dictate things to go in a different direction that turns out to be way better.
And a TV show that's been on for over 50 years, and that, of course, is Doctor Who. The TARDIS, which is the blue phone box, the blue box that he travels around in, it is supposed to blend in with its natural environments. It has a thing called a chameleon circuit, but it's always broken. And, of course, it's because they could never just set this up where he would walk into something that would be part of the set. They would be like, that would have cost too much money. So they made, like, well, when he first landed on Earth in the 60s in England, they had plenty of these police boxes, so his TARDIS, which is a time machine spaceship, would blend in by basically becoming a police box. But then it got broke, the circuit, so it's always a police box and never blends in whenever it lands anywhere.
Funny.
It's very iconic. I can't imagine the show without this, and yet it would never have been like this if, in fact, they had the money. And so that's another cool thing that happened. It's one of the most iconic vehicles in sci-fi history. And finally, a show that you and I both like, Steve, Breaking Bad.
Greatest television show ever.
Why did they film it in
outside
New Mexico?
Outside of Monday Night Raw.
Oh, yeah, of course, right. Monday Night Raw. You're right. It even goes without saying. Why New Mexico? Which I always thought, that's a very interesting place because, you know, Danny, I know you lived in New Mexico your whole life. I don't know if that is the meth capital of the world, but that's the only reason I thought they would film it there. It's like, maybe it's really a really huge, huge problem that, oh, yeah, this is the place to go do the show.
Well, yes, number one. But two, I would imagine, and this, I could be stealing it, but it could be because they offered crazy tax breaks because they were trying to make it the Hollywood of the Southwest for a while there.
Huh. That's a big part of it, Danny.
Vancouver's so popular as well, yeah, for places to shoot. Vancouver, BC, of course.
Yeah, they wanted to shoot it in Riverside, California, but it was too expensive. So, you guys, with all of your breaks and everything, they were like, all right, Vince Gilligan's like, all right, we'll go to New Mexico. So it's not so much that meth was a huge problem out there. I'm not saying it is or isn't, but it was because it was just cheaper to film. And he loved it because Gilligan said, you know what, I'm glad we ended up shooting it in New Mexico because it gave it a grittier feeling because he wanted it to be a contemporary Western. Which I never realized that. You know, it's funny what the guys think of. I didn't know he wanted it to have that Western feel, like it was an old Western thing, even though it was based on, you know, modern day stuff.
It's so different than, like, when we found out, and I think all of us were surprised that Sons of Anarchy, even though I've never watched it, but the story is just based off what, Hamlet.
Yeah.
Which
I know.
Is crazy.
Yeah, and you know, I never knew it either. And I had somebody point out to me, they even showed me an iconic episode where Clay is calling Jax the Little Prince. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, just like little lines like that, Easter eggs within the show show you that that's exactly what Kurt wanted, was to, yeah, it was Hamlet just with motorcycle gangs.
I think that was kind of the same thing with The Lion King as well. It was kind of Hamlet-esque as well.
Well, just like this just goes to show you, we can't ever tell an original story.
Lion King was in a motorcycle gang?
Yeah. Yes, they were.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I'm looking at the website. They have some other examples, and I thought this one was kind of cool. James Cameron didn't have a filming permit for The Terminator, the best of all the Terminator films. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So they had to shoot something at night to avoid having cops show up, and that was the scene where, like, you know, he walks in naked with your clothes, give it to me.
Oh, really?
So it gave a much darker vibe because of that.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So because they had a less chance of running into the police, and to save money, they use a convenient cloud. They use convenient clouds of pesticide as fog.
Oh, wow.
That's
probably healthy. Thank you. What are you doing? I'm an extra. And now I'm dying of cancer.
But my favorite, you watched The Hulk, I would imagine, growing up.
Oh, yeah, the old Bill Bixby show.
The Incredible Hulk with Lou Ferrigno. They were too cheap to spend money on shooting planes and trucks and some of those like crazy scenes that were happening. So they just picked up footage from other movies and edited it into the show. And some were well-known films from just a few years before, but the network owned the rights and they didn't care if it was obvious. So that first season just had a bunch of action in it, but like they were using footage from Steven Spielberg's movie Duel in season 1, episode 9 of The Incredible Hulk.
Isn't that insane? You see, with the old shows, you see a lot of that. I know when I used to watch my old sci-fi shows, they would show the same shots from when Lost in Space was in black and white, they had some really cool space shots. So what they did was just basically in the third season when they went to color, they just made it a blue. Like they took light blue and put it over everything to make us think that it was in color. And it's like, well, no, this is from the first season, you jerks. You couldn't shoot any new stuff. They were always just doing everything on the cheap.
What about Dukes of Hazzard? It was like the same scene of him jumping in the General Lee.
So let me ask you this, Steve.
Yes.
This is if you ever watched the old iconic Batman TV show.
Yes.
Do you know that every time they went to see the commissioner, it was the same exact scene every time the Batmobile pulled up in all of the episodes?
No.
Dude, I'm telling you, because I had the series, it's unbelievable. As a kid, you didn't know. I watched every one, and it's the same scene. They pull up to Commissioner Gordon's office. The same lady with the pillbox hat and the tan outfit walks right by as they leap out of the bat. They used the same scene in all 80 episodes every time they pulled up. That's how cheap they all were.
Wow.
And we never noticed. Nobody ever complained. Nobody ever said anything. It's one thing when you see, you know, Fred Flintstone running by the same rock house every time. But this is a live-action TV show. It's the same scene of them pulling up every episode.
Well, it's even like the South Park, because of cheap, and they couldn't afford to keep doing it and time-consuming. The cartoon became the way it was because it was just too... They originally were drawing it. And they decided to just use a computer program that was very basic to make the characters.
And how about that? And now you can't think of anything but that look.
Yep.
Back then, Disney actually reused a lot of their animation back when they used to hand draw everything. So a lot of like the same scenes, like for example, in Robin Hood, when they're dancing, they also used in the Jungle Book. And
oh, look
same
at
way.
That.
Whoa.
Wow.
So they just kind of like drew over it?
Yeah. They kind of just reused it.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty amazing, dude. You're right. Those are very similar scenes.
I mean, back then they had to draw every scene like by hand. Yep. That blows my mind.
Or even what Chris brought up, it's like Sharknado. They didn't have enough money for shark trainers, so they used 100% wild sharks.
And that's dangerous. That's almost as dangerous as the pesticide in T1. All right. It is time for Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Whatever you want to talk about, man. Your calls, your texts at 917 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9
KISW, The Rock of Seattle. It's Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show at 206-421-ROCK. You can also text us at 77999. Whatever it is that is on your mind, if it's something that just occurred to you or something you've been thinking about for a millennia, you pick the topic, you guide the show. But do remember, Steve has one rule for Listeners on the Loose.
That's to show some energy and bring it, BJ. Otherwise, we will have to, unfortunately,
and then say goodbye.
Goodbye, old friend.
206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999.
Somebody says, hey, Migs, did you see the 3-2-1 battle ref on the Mae Young Classic on the WWE last night? That was sick.
What's this about?
This is really a freaking amazing story. It's a friend of mine. She goes, Aubrey Edwards is her ref name. She refs also as, for old school wrestling fans, you know, Earl Hebner. He's the old school referee in the WWF. So when she works for a 3-2-1 battle, she goes by Girl Hebner.
Oh, nice.
And it's just a G to the Earl. But, dude, she just was featured last night in the Mae Young Classic on the WWE Network as the referee. She just got picked up. I don't know if it's like full-time. You know, they're going to use her case by case, but she's doing stuff with the WWE now, and she's a homegrown talent. And it's an awesome story. She's a wrestling fan, picked up, decided I want to learn how to become a referee for wrestling about a little over a year ago, and busted her tail. It's one of the coolest things to witness as a friend, because she's a friend of mine, and I'm super proud of her, because like she travels all the time to learn the craft, to get better at it, and then the WWE caught wind of her and said, hey, would you like to come down to Florida and be a referee for our Mae Young Classic, which is the all-women's tournament on the WWE Network? And apparently it's going well, and last night was the first time that she was on television in one of the matches, and it was a cool thing to be able to see one of your friends who had this goal and has just put in so much time and effort and just been so disciplined about it, be able to succeed. I mean, the sky's the limit. From everyone that's ever seen her ref, like it's weird when people notice a ref. That's how good she is.
And is it traditional now, Steve, for female refs to be with female wrestlers?
No, they have a lot of men doing the reffing as well. But of course, if they could have the opportunity to have a female ref with a female match, I think they'd love to have that. I don't know, but she's only the... And now they've had a few others, but she's the second female ever
for
the WWE.
Good for her. How cool would it be if she becomes a staple in the WWE? Because you know how important the ref can be to a match.
It's a huge part of it. It's a massive part of it, behind the scenes and also in front of the camera as well. But, man, she's killing it, and I couldn't be happier. That's cool that somebody noticed that as well. Someone that you see here in the Northwest, she referees for Defy and also for 3-2-1 Battle. That's and now awesome. She's a part of the WWE's Mae Young Classic.
Dude, that is awesome. Like you said, it's so great to see somebody advanced like that.
Yeah, it was surreal, man. Like when you see a friend actually do something really cool.
Yeah,
I mean, man, I'd be right up there seeing a friend on Cops.
Oh yeah, just saying the same thing.
Yeah, hey, same thing.
There you are in the back seat. All right.
Somebody says, I have a big debate with my wife about what's an appropriate amount to tip. I would love to get your guys' feedback on this.
Well, isn't that funny? Because they just came out with a new national average of what tipping should be. So if you want to, depending on where you are on this, sir, I will tell you what the national average is. They're saying now the average is 17.12%, which I always thought it was 18. I did not know that people still aren't going up to 18 fully as an average.
I always go 20% or higher. Like at the minimum, it's 20%.
Yeah.
And then if you're awesome, it definitely goes way higher than that. But I always, even if it's someone that's not, I mean, it has to be red rotten for me to go below 20%.
Yeah, you're I like to think that if somebody really is a jerk, then maybe if I give them a nice tip, it'll turn it around for the next customer. They'll go, all right, you know what? Maybe people are nice because maybe they're bad. They're in a bad mood because of the previous customer.
I think that too sometimes. I'm like, well, maybe this is just a really awful day. And I know you're supposed to put your game face on, but I think we all know that there are some times where you just have such a terrible day that even you can't fake it.
Yeah, and that's why, like, whenever I do get bad service, I watch what they're doing when they're not at my table to see, like, you can kind of tell when someone's having a bad day because it just travels. But if they're just kind of being rude to our table and then they're being sweet as pie to someone else, like, even though I have been in the service industry, I have no problem tipping below average if you're a jerk.
Wow.
I'm going to have to be a real jerk.
That's why I like eating with Vicky, because I get the behind the scenes. I'll go, okay, Vicky, this seems a little slow. Tell me what's happening. And Vicky will give me the play-by-play.
Yeah, I can see what the server's doing, if she looks panicked running, what the hostess is doing, if anybody else. Like, I'll see the manager sometimes busting ass. Then I can tell what's going on. But I always tip at least 20%.
I like now that they have on some of the receipts, they actually tell you what the 20% is. The 7, you know,
yeah.
Because a lot of times all I do is I'll like double the tax and add a couple bucks and hope that's good enough for... You know,
I'll actually try to do math, and when I'm drinking, oh, it's a beating.
Here's an easy way: if you want 20%, for every $10, add $2. So 20% of 10 would be $2.
Hey, I get it.
Then for 20.
What I do is, it works for me. But like, if the bill is $50, I just double the 5 and it's 10.
Or
if
there you go too.
Or if the bill is $60,
you do.
I double the 6 and it's 12.
Wait a second.
I know, man.
Guys, I have a headache.
And then I add a couple bucks. I'm with you, dude.
Math is easy, man. When it comes to tipping. It's actually a lot easier than you think.
But now, because they put it on the bill, Steve's right. It makes it so much easier just to go, oh, okay, that's what it is, man. Who do you think tips the highest? Out of all of our states.
Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl is actually the state of Dave Grohl. You're absolutely right. And that he's our 51st state. He's official now.
I'm going to say California because you got all those celebrities.
Oh, you know what, Vicky? That's a good guess. I would think California. They're not in there. They're not even in like the top five or six.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's really something. By the way, Washington's also not in the top five or six, so we don't do, I guess we're not the big tippers. Maine is the state that tips the highest.
It's all that lobster, man.
And I know there's a lot of folks that actually, I got some buddies that live in Florida that escape to Maine. It's the reverse snowbird effect. So I wonder if they get a lot of ritzy Floridians that go up there, and maybe that's why, and they buy the fancy properties and all the ones that in Massachusetts got all the dough. I don't know.
I was going to say, is it kind of expensive in Maine? Because I know, like Steve said, lobster, if they just have more expensive food, I wonder if they're
just
tipping.
It's been a while. There are parts of Maine you can pay a lot of dough, but then parts of Maine where nobody's at, and I think so. But that's been a while, so I don't know. So Maine, Rhode Island, New Jersey, Connecticut, Vermont, Florida, and Michigan. So far, the West is not represented for the biggest dippers. Yeah. And then how about the lowest tips, ladies and gentlemen?
Ooh. Damn.
This Alaska. Is unfortunate. It's kind of close to us.
Oh,
Florida.
Yeah, that's it. Florida, ladies and gentlemen, from a geographic. But Oregon actually is up there with one of the lowest ones. They're not the lowest, but Oregon is in there as part of the states. Yes, you are a winner.
Wow. I'm not surprised.
What is with the Pacific Northwest? Come on, people.
Yeah, I
start tipping.
I don't know what the logic is. Maybe just people are so sad they don't want to make other people happy.
That could be it. Yeah,
I'm wondering if there's because we have a lot of people from other countries and other states. I'm wondering if tipping is not customary.
I bet in Oregon, it's because they're just used to people serving them because pumping gas for the longest time.
Ooh,
so they're just like, well, this is just expected.
Yeah, they only tip at about 15.5%. That's where they go in Montana. Oregon's about 16%. That's it. Wyoming and North Carolina also not the big tippers. So there you go. So Washington, I don't know where we are, but we're not the best, we're not the worst. So hey,
we're just there.
Yay, Washington.
Good job, people.
It's Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show at 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Your calls, your texts at 933 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. It's Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999.
Somebody wanted to know what the name of the crawfish place is that you guys talked about in Puyallup. I've never been there yet. I still need to go. But it's called Boiling Crawfish on Meridian. And apparently it's supposed to be really good.
I hear that myself.
They have other places in Washington. I think there's one in White Center, maybe, or Renton. Yeah. Okay, White Center. Yeah.
Oh, Danny knows that because White Center is right inside of West Seattle, right?
It is. Actually, it's in West Seattle. It's on Alki.
Yeah, that's right.
According to Danny.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah, it's right there. But he's new here. He doesn't know.
I don't know. It's been 2 years. I don't know where I am. My name's Danny.
Almost three, but whatever.
Yeah.
Somebody said yesterday we were talking about things that blew your mind because we were talking about the whole duck hunt thing where the second controller actually controlled the duck, and a lot of us didn't know about that, including Seth Rogen. One person says, my mind was blown. I'm 31 years old, and I learned last week that chicken fried steak isn't chicken.
You know what? I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that at first. I mean, I know it now, but I used to always go to IHOP after our old band would play shows. It was the IHOP Madison, I think, in Capitol Hill. And that was my go-to, chicken fried steak. And I for the longest time, just thought it was chicken. I was like, oh, it just tastes a little different. But maybe it's a different part of the chicken.
Isn't
but
that hysterical?
It says it in the name.
I know. I thought it was like they cooked it like a steak, but it was chicken.
Nope, the other way around.
I'm aware of that now.
I'm here to make sure it's sticking in your brain.
Now I know.
The way it's written, it makes it sound like what Steve thinks. They should have just said fried steak,
But they fry it like a chicken.
Yeah, so that's what they should have said, fried steak like chicken.
See, I can't really throw stones. I probably would have thought that too, but the way I found out, or we would call it country fried steak.
Yep.
So that's kind of how I knew it was steak.
See, that's even better. Country fried steak, he's like, okay, at least I know it's steak. But when you put the word chicken in there and the chicken is the lead off,
right.
I assume chicken must be the main part. Otherwise, why does chicken get the headliner and the steak gets to be put in the back?
I'm with you, man.
Yeah. I want country fried steak.
Yeah. Mm. English language. We're such a funny culture.
Somebody said they were blown away when they learned that Dairy Queen serves food. I thought it was only ice cream for the longest time.
Well, if you go to a brazier. which I don't even know if they call them braziers anymore, but that used to be Dairy Queen Brazier.
Yeah. I don't even know what brazier means. Is that the porn site?
I was about to say, it's that porn site,
no,
right?
That's Brazzers.
Oh,
that's
you would know.
Yeah, I would know. Yes, that's why you guys get it right.
Brazier is a portable heater consisting of a pan or a stand for holding lighted coals or a barbecue.
They're trying to be fancy.
Yeah. And that's what they were. They were braziers back in the day, right?
Used to be. I don't think they call them that anymore. I think it's just all Dairy Queens pretty much have hamburgers now.
Well, it's fan food, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the other thing. It's not just fast food. It's fan food, people.
And all Dairy Queens pretty much have Orange Julius attached to it or connect. Like, they have Orange Julius
in the malls,
you can buy.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in the mall in some locations, too.
The Julius is going by the way of the highway, though. I think a lot more of them, even Dairy Queen couldn't save them. Because I know it's, I think they're gone in South Center. They still have it at the Tacoma Mall, the Julius Dairy Queen?
I don't go to the Tacoma Mall.
Chris says yes.
I know that, that's a bummer. Because that was a tradition. My mom and I, whenever we would go to the mall, I would always be rewarded with one of those pina coladas. If you like
pina coladas. It's so 80s, Orange Julius. It was supposedly the healthy drink, if you can believe that.
I used to think it was. I'm like, I'm going to get an Orange Julius.
That's what we all thought, and then we were all wrong.
Banana ice cream, basically.
It's tasty, but not super healthy.
Well, it's like we used to think Sunny Delight was healthy. It's orange juice.
Sunny D!
It's not.
Yeah.
So he says, what's the craziest thing you guys ever saw in high school? One morning when I walked in, there were two girls fighting like two heroin addicts fighting over the last spoon in the kitchen. It ended when one of them broke an arm.
Oh!
Ooh, craziest thing. We had this one kid, and he just finally snapped. People picked on him. It was kind of unfortunate, but like he finally snapped, and he took, like, these were the old desks that were a chair attached to the table desk thing.
Oh, yeah.
So one piece.
Yeah.
And he just finally, someone was throwing something at him, and he just picked the thing up. Like, he just had mutant strength, and he was a little guy, but like, he just finally had it, and he threw the whole piece at that kid.
Whoa.
Hit the kid, jumped on top of him, and just started pummeling him.
Wow.
And it was like, obviously, it was very weird, and people were freaking out. But there was part of me was like, "Good on you, man! Finally,
yeah, Jeremy,
yeah,
to make it happen."
He didn't even have to bite the recess lady's breast.
No, he didn't. He just he got it done. He and everybody thought he was a harmless little F, didn't they?
Yes, he hit his breaking point.
Did he get suspended or anything?
I don't remember.
Okay.
He got to, I mean, he had to leave class.
Yeah.
I mean, after he bit the recess lady, then he did get suspended.
But then he got in trouble. Then I think he just got into him because then he got in trouble for arson. He was lighting the kid in front of him's hair on fire.
Well, as Warren Zevon would say, that's an excitable boy right there.
Yeah. I think he finally had, like, he found his power.
Yeah.
No one wanted to mess with him after that.
No, you don't mess with the crazy person. When somebody snaps, you're done because it doesn't matter how big and strong you are. Crazy trumps all of that. I have a similar story, Steve, but it wasn't about a kid that threw a desk. It was about a teacher that threw a desk and lost it.
And
I really feel like I contributed to this teacher going out of his
shocking
mind. Yeah. Dude, he just picked up the... it was scary. Then you realize, wow, this guy could kill us, and there's not much we could do. He just picked up the desk same way, hurled it out at all the other desks, and it was like... for some reason, a lot of people skipped school that day, and so there weren't too many of us in there. So he just took out an entire row of desks by slamming it with another desk. Because we were just... I was thinking, well, there's nobody here. We're not going to learn anything today. Why should we? That was my argument. We shouldn't have to learn anything. Nobody's here. I mean, you're teaching to them. I was using all the logic I could just to get... And he was just done. Because all of us were just peppering him with reasons why we shouldn't do the class, and he just picked up the desk and just chucked it. And you know what? I have to say, you throw a desk in my direction, sort of somewhere near me, I think that'll shut me up.
I believe it. This happened in middle school, not high school, but there's always that weird kid that just does weird stuff to gross everyone out and to kind of prove he's awesome. It wasn't awesome. Do you know what a crane fly is?
No.
They kind of look like Daddy Long Legs, but with wings.
Oh, that's what they call them, crane flies?
Well, that's what we call them. I don't know if that's the actual name.
Yes, I do know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, he would go around. They were really prevalent, I think, in the fall time. So he'd grab them, and he'd, like, pick the legs off and start eating them.
Oh!
And just to be like, he's like, yeah, you want to see me eat this? It's like, no. And he'd go and just start eating them.
Then why did he ask the question?
Yeah.
He got the answer.
Attention.
He looked like he was a future,
future chef,
most wanted.
Yeah.
Wow. Probably on Cops.
It's Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic, you guide the show. I have a question, though. Is there actually a time where you are encouraged to embarrass your friends? The answer may be yes, and I'll tell you why at 9:48 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Okay, some of you may think this is a story about a particular member of our show, and I'm not sure if it is. I'll let you guys decide. If there's someone in your life who gets sloppy drunk and you want to get them to cut back, it's time to get a strategy. Anybody you can think of in our lives?
Uncle Chris.
Yeah. It's a tie. It used to be people would pick Sarah, but Uncle Chris is giving Sarah a run for her money.
Oh, no, Sarah's responsible now.
Yeah. That's right, she is.
Chris is responsible. He has a homing beacon that sends him right back home or to the hotel room to sleep on the floor.
It is true. He does get back.
Yeah. In Vegas, we had to physically drag him through the casino to the point where you saw his feet making marks on the carpet.
Yeah, he was trashed.
That's fantastic. And the look on people's faces as they're gambling and they're watching BJ and I carrying this man, dragging him back to the room was awesome.
And you think, okay, how do you get a guy like him to be more responsible? They say the number one thing to do, don't tell him about health implications or how bad you feel. Just tell them that they're embarrassing themselves and regale all the stories about how they're an idiot. Chris seems to actually be fueled by that.
Oh, I wouldn't tell him he was a bad drunk. I'm telling him, keep going, man. This is fun.
Yeah.
He wasn't a bad drunk.
No, he's a good drunk.
And now that he's lost weight, he's a light drunk.
Yeah, he is. He is a lightweight. All right, man. Kathy Faulkner, she is in for Ryan Castle. She's got your 12-pack next.
BJ and Migs play of the day.
I'm an older millennial, and my mom never let me walk to school.
My mom would only react if I did something stupid. So she'd be like, yeah, you can go skateboard to school. And I would skateboard to school, and then one time I came home, and my face was all completely torn up because I fell and just scraped my face against the concrete. And then she's like, you can't skateboard to school anymore. I was like, son of a bitch. All right, now can I take my BMX bicycle? Sure, you can take your BMX bicycle. Yeah. And then I got hit by a car.
Yeah.
She's like, you can't do that anymore.
You alive.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. Here's another question from a listener. If I file for bankruptcy, do I have to appear in court? That makes me nervous.
Going to court is never something that's easy to do. However, when you file bankruptcy, you usually only have to attend one hearing at the courthouse. Of course, I'll be there with you. And when you go to court, it's not before the judge. It's actually with the trustee or the trustee's attorney. One of the things that's critical in a bankruptcy is that you give your attorney in the court all of your information. You list all of your assets and all of your creditors. That's what we're trading for your discharge, is your true and honest disclosure of your assets and liabilities. And so the court hearing is just usually about a 5-minute deal where you show up and reaffirm and swear that all the information you've given the court and your attorney is correct.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.